just me and his door. These are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world. We are the laborers and the vineyard declaring the word of the Lord. Everybody say, God, he's wonderful and mighty in all of his ways. We got to give God thanks for waking us up this morning because he didn't have to. So we give him praise and honor and glory because he is definitely worthy. He is a pleasure to be in my life. I love you, Lord. I thank you for all that you do, all that you're going to do. I thank you for never going back on your word. I thank you for just being you. I thank you for saving me, Lord, because you brought me from a place where I didn't want to be. But I thank you, Lord, because you're great. Come on.
Come on, say it. Come on, say it. Come on, say it. and thank God for it. Thank God for Brother Tim. Amen. Amen. Just going on in Jesus' name. First giving honor to God, to everybody in the place. Amen. To our preachers, Reverend Williams, Minister Tolbert, the Deacon Wright, all Deacon Scott, all of our deacons in the place. Thank God for everybody and all that has taken part thus far and taken place in the service thus far. Amen. We thank God for this praying through the Galatians. It's been a blessing. Amen. It's been a blessing. How many, by a show of hands, how many been able to get online and be a part of praying through the Galatians? Amen. Amen. Don't know, you know, and thank God. It's been a blessing to me personally. And we encourage you to follow the guide and the sheet, just to study for yourself, to get in the Word for yourself, to see what the Word is speaking intently, even unto you. Amen. But we just thank God, and those that have your Bibles, if you could turn your attention to the book of Galatians. Can't get away from it. Can't get away from it. Turn your attention to the book of Galatians chapter 4 and the first verse. Also, thank God for my wife. Amen. Amen. Just thank God for her and putting up with me. Galatians chapter 4, first verse says this: Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors, governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And that means daddy. And wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did serve unto them which by nature were no gods. You worshiped them. You worshiped them idols. You worshiped them false gods. But now after that, ye have known God. Now that you're saved, or rather are known of God, how do you turn back to those weak and beggarly elements? How you turn back to the things that you used to do? Amen. How do you turn back to where you were before? He said, whereunto you ye desire again to be back in bondage. You observe days and months and times and years. And I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all, but you know how that the infirmities of the flesh I preach the gospel unto you at the first. Amen. And I'm going to stop right there. And also Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says this: I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ now lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. And y'all, guess what? I don't even really have a title, but the theme for the church for this month is, you know, looking at Christmas and this Christmas season, Advent, and the Word was made flesh. Amen. And dwelt among us. And the Word was made flesh. And we're going to look at that verse too. Was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you to know that you alone are God, all by yourself. And besides you, there is none other. God, we love you. We just are in awe of what you've done, the awesome demonstration, this great gift of love that you would have for us. Lord, that you would leave the throne seat of eternity, be poured into a body prepared, that you would come and offer up yourself on that cross for us. God, we thank you because we will never fully get to the depths and understand the magnitude of the greatness and the vastness of that love for us. And even in the beginning of the world, oh God, how you created us. And we were fulfilled and sustained in you. But because of sin, Lord, we fell from that happy and holy place. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, you saved us and you redeemed us. Oh God, that's a demon-busting love to know how much we love. We're adopted by you, that we've been grafted back into the body of Christ. And you can call us sons and daughters of the Most High. We thank you, oh God, just continue to crucify my flesh. Hide me beneath your cross. God, that I won't speak out of me. That your word will go forth in this place. God, we love you, bless you, and we praise you. For it's in Jesus' name, and for sake we pray. Let everybody say amen. 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 I can't help myself. Man, when I think about this awesome love that a holy God would have for me and for you and for all of us to set us free from the bondage of sin, decay, and corruption, to set us free from eternal damnation that we were bound to. Amen. I'm overwhelmed. I'm grateful. My heart is filled this morning with that love, and I just thank God for it. Amen. And I'm just going to say that it's a place that God breaks your heart to when you meditate on it through his word, that you know how much he loves you. And I just thank God. Amen. I don't even know where to start. Like a big buffet meal. This word is good. And it's awesome. And I used to see the old folk back in the day. Just tears running down their eyes. Didn't understand it. And now when I think about it, I got tears running down my eyes. We are grateful, amen, for this love of Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I pray that all of us will get there, that we're broken to this magnitude of the love of Christ. Amen. And I think about what Christ has come to do for us, to save us, and to know that the Bible says that if the devil had known what he was going to do, right, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. Because when Christ died on that cross, the devil was rendered powerless. He was. And the only power, really, the only power that he really has is the power that we give him or the power where the God, where God allows him to attack. Amen? But that's the only power that he really has. And, you know, it's the intent of the enemy to render the church powerless. It is. It's the intent of the enemy to render us as believers, those that go out into the marketplace, those that go out back into our homes, to our places of occupation. He wants, the enemy wants to, even after being saved, he wants to cancel us out. That we are a moot point. Amen. We are just powerless and just render us inoperable to the people that we come in contact. He wants to render us inoperable to the curses and the things that plague our homes and the generational curses and the territorial spirits. He wants to render us inoperative. Amen. Inoperable and unto our marriages, having healthy marriages and healthy relationships with our children, to train them up in the way that they should go. And when they are old, they will not depart. He wants to render us inoperable, amen, to things in us and attitudes and unforgiveness and stuff that we can come in here and shout and praise God and have a great time. Amen. And sing in the choir and usher and do all these things, but yet go back out these doors and be powerless when it comes to spiritual things. And that's what was going on in the church. He said, if I can't stop them, guess what? I'm going to join them. Amen. And he joined the church. And I think about, there's a great, great coach. He's a good coach. I'm going to call him a great coach, but he's a good coach. And he specializes in, he knows what your strengths are, right? He knows you got a, you know, there's your strength is you got a great running game, or you got a great receiver, or you got a great quarterback. And so he specializes in taking away that which is your main weapon of offense. Amen? Somebody said his name. That's what he specializes in, amen? I ain't going to get into the Eagles and Dallas and the Cowboys and the 49ers and all that. But that's the, you know what? And the Bible says for us that we ought to be not ignorant of Satan's devices. And here in this Galatian church, he wanted to render them powerless by taking away the very thing that won their freedom. Amen? By taking away the very thing, amen, that Christ came to give us, by taking away the power of the cross and the power of co-crucifixion, where we say we don't have to die to ourselves, where we say we don't have to give up our lives, where we can keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church, do the church and do the world and be religious, to keep us religious but lost. Amen. And guess what, y'all? You can be saved. You can be saved. But there be no manifestation of the love of Christ. And that's what the enemy wanted to do. Amen. And as far as our position in Christ, the Bible says in here in our text that now I say that there, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Amen. And Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore thou, you are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why I want to let you know, because some people tend to think that when we talk about babes in Christ, and you are a babe in Christ, that the Holy Spirit has to grow in you. No. What this Bible tells us is that when you're saved and amen and truly born again, that you have an adult relationship with the Father. You have all rights and privileges with the Father. You listen, you have all access to heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So don't let nobody tell you, I'm an infant in Christ, or I'm just a babe in Christ. Yes, the difference is you have to grow in what you have. Amen. You have to know what you have. You have to know the tools that have been afforded to you. You have to know the riches that have been afforded to you. You have to know the prominence and the sonship that has been afforded to you. You have everything that you need to live and to run this Christian race. And listen, and there are some that can come in the church and after 5 years be on fire and accomplish more for Jesus Christ than somebody that's been sitting on the pew for 40 and 50 and 60 years because they have not walked in the love that they know that they have in Jesus Christ. And that's why he says in Galatians 3:23, just the next chapter back, he says, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, right? We were locked up, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, we were locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian. Amen. The law was our schoolmaster. Amen. The law, listen, the law was not bad. Amen. The law was good. Amen. The law was like the teacher or the servant or actually the slave. Now don't backslide on me. Amen. The law was the slave. That because when we were babies, we didn't know what was good for ourselves, right? So the servant had to babysit us until we became of age to receive the full wealth of the inheritance that God has for us. Amen. And listen, and that's why the Bible says, it goes on to say, but is held in verse 2 of our text, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so when we were children, guess what, y'all? We were in bondage under the elements of this world. We're going to talk about that just for a little bit. Amen. We were in bondage under this world. And if you skip down to verse 8, I'm trying to hold off from going to verse 4. Amen. If I get to verse 4 and get to verse 5, amen, I might start doing cartwheels and backflips. Amen. Down the aisle. But even in verse 8, how be it then when you knew not God, you did service unto them, which by nature they were no gods. You were held there. You were in bondage there. Amen. You were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we were. Preacher's son, that's where I was. Didn't know what was good for me. But we were held in the bondage of the influence of the cursed culture that we live in. We were in bondage under these things. Amen. And but now after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, ye turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements. That means the weakness of the law. That means the poorness. Beggarly don't mean you were begging, but that's the poorness. That's the poor attrition of the law, knowing that the law could not save you. Amen. Your best foot forward, you're working and trying to work for your salvation, could not keep you. Amen? And you were in beggarly elements, wherefore ye desire again to be in bondage. People are in bondage. Man, I thank God for the word last week. Just couldn't help it. Because we come in the church, we do the church thing. Right? And all those things that were triggers in our lives, growing up, things we were shaped by, things that we were held by, things that somebody's done to us. Amen? And that's where the enemy operates. All those things and the thoughts that are still attacking your mind. Because you're not feeding the mind, you're feeding your mind the word of God. And all those things, what somebody did to you. Or your father walked out, or your mother walked out, or your father had favoritism, or your mother had favoritism. And all those things have shaped you. Right? And then we come in the church with this form of godliness, but denying the power that really will set you free. That will really give you just a spiritual mindset to know what Christ says about you, to know what he thinks about you, and all my nappy hair, and all my big nose, big lips, whatever you are beautiful in Jesus Christ, regardless of what Cosmopolitan says, regardless of what Facebook says, regardless of what Instagram says, and putting pictures up of what you're supposed to be like, what you're supposed to shake and look like to get somebody's attention. You need to know that Christ loves you. He loves you. You're an adopted son or daughter of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Bible says, these that continue in my word, truly you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth of the word of God. And it's the truth that sets you free. I'm free. I'm free. Guess what? More than leaving my kids, man, a will or a big estate of money, I'm going to leave my kids generational blessings. I claim it right now in the name of Jesus. That they don't have to be. That they don't have to be bound. That they will know we're going to drill it into their heads. And if we can zip the top of their heads off, open it up, and take this Bible and pour these scriptures into them to let them know they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul. Know who you are. Be complete in who you are before you get married. Amen. Even our old people know who we are. Stop doing stuff to win the attention and the approval of other people. Amen. Amen. And guess what, y'all? And I say it, and I know, listen, I know, just call me Reverend Broken Record Randy. Just call me. Y'all, religion without relationship is dangerous. Guess what? We say it all the time. We were born in the church. We know how to do the church in our sleep. But do we know how to live this thing, y'all? That's what the devil hates. He don't care about my shout. Oh, I can riff and sing. Amen. He's sitting back. Go ahead on, give him praise, brother. That's what he's saying. But when I pick up the phone and call somebody that was not speaking to me, or I was not speaking to them for 5 years, and we got stuff lingering and attitudes and hurt, and you still gossiping, you still playing a number and drinking and doing all this stuff. Amen. The devil says you can shout all day long. And the great theologian told us one time, you can't shout on top of your mess. Amen. Amen. But the first point I have is, listen. I'm going to be out your way. We've got communion. So y'all pray. Amen. Listen, be not ignorant of the enemy's intent. That's my first point. We can't be ignorant. Y'all, that he wants us to sleep in the church. Amen. He wants us reverse. And this is what he wanted. What Paul says, need I turn again to the weak and beggarly elements. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage, you're back in bondage. You observe days, months, times of year. Amen. Sabbatical years, year of jubilee, convocation. Baptist convictions. Amen. All these stuff. That's what they were good at doing, observing the times and the months and all these religious things. Because if I can keep on working in the church, I'll feel better about myself. If I can keep on working in the kitchen, if I can keep on singing in the choir, amen. if I can not speak to my sister or my brother, but go to Reverend Williams and say, hey, can I be a part of the fellowship choir? And we just say, no problem, come on in, come on in, without training people in the word to know that we've got to be delivered. It's the cover up. Now, thank God for Minister Tober talking about that pig. And my father used to talk about the pig. You can dress that pig up. You can put cologne on that pig and perfume on that pig. Pull out your best white china. Right? Set it up. You got guests coming over the house. Sit that pig at the table. And you bring that food out. And you don't want to embarrass your guests. Guess what that pig going to do? Man, it's going to start swapping and hogging and sucking up that food on the floor, breaking china, amen, because a pig is a pig. And that's the old nature of the pig. Listen, in this Galatian church, the devil was intently going after them to bring them back under the old nature. That's the nature that even he goes on to talk about in with Abraham. Two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Guess what? There's a place for Ishmael in Jesus. There is. So if you may not be Jewish, but guess what? There's a place for you. The Bible says he came into his own, but his own received him not. But to as many that what? Did receive him. To them he gave what? Power to become, as matters not, Greek, Gentile, black, white, red, yellow. If you say you belong to him. Amen. The devil is intentional, y'all, about putting us in bondage and keeping us in bondage. And there was a demonic intent. Amen. In Galatians. So we can't be not ignorant of this, of the enemy's intention. He said, because if I can't win them, I'm going to join them. Galatians 2 and 4. Help me, y'all. Slow down. Galatians 2 and 4. Says, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage. So they came in, dressed apart, looking apart. And I talk about the deacon that's dressed to the nines, right? Driving the Cadillac with the feather in his hat. Amen. I ain't talking about none of our deacons. Amen. But knows how to play the part. Amen. Still keep a fifth of gin and liquor and Mad Dog in the basement in the refrigerator. Amen. Still like the, and one man said, I go to church because I like it when the women come around. The collect the offering. Hey, amen. And another pastor made a joke out of it. Amen. Amen. Deacon in the church. And we'll just put people up without training them in who they are in Christ. Amen. And so these were the Judaizers. These was those dogs trying to cause persuasion that they might bring us back into bondage. Amen. 1 Corinthians 9 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had not known it, that they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen? But back in our text, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Now, the first point is, be not ignorant of the enemy's intent. But the second point is, be not ignorant of the enemy's influence. Amen. And over again, listen, there are territories waiting spiritually. We don't wrestle against the things we can see. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Powers, rulers in the darkness of this world. Amen. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. Be not ignorant of his wiles and how he works. Amen. For we know that there is an all-out onslaught for us to operate out of the flesh and not the spirit. And as long as they kept bringing them under the law, they're operating out of the flesh. Amen. And the enemy knows the key to my deliverance, the key to my family's deliverance, the key to us reconciling our enemies. Amen. And the key to overcoming depression is to be anchored and rooted in the cross. And I don't mean glorying in the cross. I don't mean, guess what? Oh, the cross will keep the vampires away. No. And people, we see people kissing the cross, right? Man, that cross around your neck ain't doing nothing. But it's the cross that's applied to your heart. Amen. When Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Let him what? Take up his cross and follow me. Y'all, we've got to deny ourselves. And we've got to take up the cross. But we see how Paul, we talk about this influence. And I thank God, listen, let's go back. I'm sorry. I ain't sorry. Listen, let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. And it says, but neither Titus, 2:3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren that came in unawares, secretly, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, he says, and that means did not yield. They did not yield to these Judaizers. They did not yield to this influence. Listen, when we look at this influence that came in, y'all know this influence tried to get Paul to move. And the same influence that got Peter to move. I don't care how strong you think you are. If you're not anchored, grounded, and rooted, and have a love affair with this word of God, you will move. But Paul said, not now, not never. Y'all can go somewhere with that. I don't care how dressed up you look. I don't really care to count. Masons, Greek letters, all this stuff. You got preachers in the pulpit flaunting their Greek letters and their kappas and their omegas and all this stuff, worshiping false gods. There was an influence. There was an intent of the devil to cause these people to come back under bondage. There's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this away. The man that builds his house on a storm, on the sand, the rain came. The floods came. And guess what? His house fell. Amen. Because it was not founded on the rock. But the man who built his house on the rock. That rock ain't the rock on your finger. That rock ain't the rocks that when we went through Winter Village, and we were doing ministry, and somebody said, do y'all got some rocks? But that rock is named Jesus, the lover of my soul, the lily of my valley, the one who we are anchored in, the one who I'm going to put my trust in, the one who I'm going to put my faith in. Amen. Moses said, Jesus, I want to see your face. And God said, no man can see my face and live. But what he said is, I'm going to hide you in the cliff of the rock. And when I pass by and you see my glory, you can see my hinder parts. But you can't see me. And that's us, y'all. Guess what? We can't go to God by ourselves. We can't go to God because we got some money. We can't go to God because we worked and we did good things in the church and we served on Phil Abundance and the Red Cross and we do all these things. No, you're a good lost person. That's what you are. Amen. And oh, he's a good person. Well, good person don't mean saved person. We got to know that we've been saved. that we've been anchored, that we've been rooted, that we've been planted in Jesus Christ. And the song says, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Amen. We've got to be anchored. Amen. Jesus said, in this life you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have already overcome this world. Amen. And we look at this world influence. And Paul stood. But Peter moved. And even Barnabas moved like Peter. And to those that don't know the story, amen, there were those of the circumcision, like the jocks that came in to the cafeteria. And because there was influence with them, Peter got up and moved with them. And Paul stood them to the face. And guess what? Y'all know what it did? It further solidified his authority. Not only did he meet with the apostles, and he confirmed to them what God had revealed to him in the desert of Saudi Arabia, that he was a true apostle receiving revelation from Jesus Christ. But then his standing in the midst of a turbulent influence. Amen. Amen. Standing in the midst of just this worldly grid system. Amen. Standing in the midst of the magnetism of this world. And how we can get hooked on stuff. And hooked on the internet. And hooked on these phones. That people wake up and the first thing they do is grab the phone. Look at your status. Look at the porn. Look at the lust. And I may not be naked, but they got on half clothes. Amen. Look at what's going on. Amen. That's pulling the centrifugal force of this world. And Peter moved. And Paul stepped to him. And basically, and he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ now what? Liveth in me. And the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Y'all, we need to grab our children and hug them and love them and watch what they're looking at. Watch the stuff they go on. Check their cell phones. Because last I checked, ain't nobody paying a cell phone bill in my house. Oh, I don't want to violate their privacy. Using up your electric, coming home from college, eating all your food, a gallon of milk only lasts 2 days. I said, Lord, have mercy. And can eat a whole plate of macaroni and cheese, a whole plate that my wife cooked. And me and my wife just look at each other in shock like, what in the world? What in the world do your insides look like? Amen. Listen, we've got to love our children first. Be a demonstration in them, but get in their world. Listen, it's the devil's intent to get in their business at 3 years old. Job said, a man that is born of a woman is what? Full of trouble. And when you hear about this young boy, 10 years old, his mother wouldn't buy him a VR to go to his video game. She wouldn't buy it from Amazon, and he shot his own mother at 10. God is speaking, y'all. I can't even get into all the gross, detestable things that are going on in this world. And we can do church all day long. But if we're not anchored and rooted and grounded in this word of God, you will move. Thank God for Paul. Stepping to him. Challenging him to the face. Amen. To bring them back under the cross. We like the glory in the cross. We love Easter. We love to skip right past Black Friday. Not Black Friday, but yeah, it might have been black. But Good Friday. It was black because the Bible says the sun refused to shine. We love to skip past Good Friday. And we want to go to the resurrection. But guess what, y'all? We must first come through the cross. Every single day, we've got to die to ourselves that we might be anchored and rooted in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we thank God back in our text. For Paul lets him know. Amen. But when the fullness of time had come. Amen. When the fullness of time had come. God sent forth his son. Made of a woman. Made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. That we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are a son, God hath sent forth, amen, his spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's a crying relationship. The devil wants us in religion. But Christ wants us in relationship. And that's a relationship. And when you think about Christmas, and every day is Christmas to me, amen. And how eternity appeared in time. Eternity came to time and came into space. And how the creator of the world, Jesus Christ, he stepped into creation for you and for me. And I think about how in the world would a holy God take his son in the predetermination council. And I heard it this week in the Galatians. Amen. And how, listen, Jesus loved the Father. And the love for the Father and the Son was for us. And Christ raised up his hand. And he said, send me. I'll go. And he entered into time and a space with a body that God had prepared, being born of a virgin. Amen. To come and the three wise men were given frankincense and myrrh. That he was born, guess what? To show us the way. He was born to teach us the way. He was born to do the miracles that he did. And guess what, y'all? But we still reverted back. Even the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, Moses was up on the mountain. But guess what, y'all? They still, Aaron, give me the earrings, and we need something. And guess what? They reverted back. And here in Galatians, church, although Christ had come, he had already established their salvation. But when Paul found out that they were reverting back, succumbing to the Judaizers, and he says, who has beseeched you? Who has bewitched you that they would trick you and cause you to go back under the law? He said, I stand in awe of you. Not all good, but I stand in amazement. How in the world could you go back under this stuff? Don't you know that Jesus Christ, amen, he died for you. Jesus Christ, he was buried for you. Amen. And when he says in 3:1, oh foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the faith before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. And he also said, in the first chapter, in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are soon removed. How in the world? Guess what? That's the current of the world. That's the curse of the world. To bring us back under bondage. But I thank God for Isaiah 53. It says, for who hath redeemed our report? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root of the dry ground, and no form or comeliness when he shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as if it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But guess what, church? He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by his stripes, guess what? We're healed. I thank God for the blood. To know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. But guess what? It's the perfect blood of Jesus to love us, to redeem us. Amen. I'll never know why he loved me. I'll never know why he cared. I'll never know why he sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm so glad he did, that when he hung there on that cross and they plucked out his beard and they pierced him in the side and they pierced him in his hands, he could have called on 12 legions of angels, but he stayed right there on the cross. And the Bible says it got dark. One thief accepted him. One thief rejected him. But I thank God for the centurion that was standing there when the earth began to quake and the earth began to rock and the earth began to reel and the sun refused to shine, because he was the very creator of the world. He was the very beginning. Amen. The word was made flesh and it was dwelt among us. That's why he could stand on the bows of the ship and speak to the elements and said, cease, be still. He can speak to the things in your life. He can speak to the sickness in your life. He can speak to the elements in your life and the stuff and the hang-ups in your life and say, peace. The doctors can say one thing, but Jesus can say another thing. We was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. Amen. And the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him. And the Father who loved the Son, this is how much he loved us, that he turned his back on his only begotten Son, because his eyes were too holy to look at my sin and your sin. And that centurion said, truly, truly, this must be the Son of the living God. Emmanuel, God with us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. As we stand to our feet, the intent of the enemy is to keep us on the surface. The intent of the enemy is to keep us going through the motions. Guess what? Christ has come. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have what? Life. And have it more abundantly. And I just thank God. Guess what? It's the cross. It's the life of Christ in me that's able to stand. I can't stand on my own. But it's got to be the love of Christ that's manifested in us that's standing up even through us. Amen. And to be baffled in amazement. Why a holy God, the very creation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, will take on flesh, be poured out into a body, because he loved us. Amen. And the Bible says, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the sons of God? Do if not yet appear, what we're going to be. But we know when he cracks the sky, when he comes back, we're going to see him. We're going to be, see him as he is. And I pray, listen, I don't know why my heart, these teenagers, our children, and our babies, they can work a cell phone quicker than we can at 6 and 7 years old. There's an influence, y'all. Even people, man, even myself, sometimes, man, we got this pop-up, this internet pop-up. When I go on to do things for my job, we get these news feeds that pop up. Like, what? Michael Jordan is bankrupt? That's not true. Let me click on that. Then you click on this, and then something that I was looking at on Amazon pops up. How in the world they know I was looking at that? Because of cookies and stuff like that. Yeah, the devil knows the book is out. I'm telling you, there is a magnetism of flesh and currency in this world. That, guess what? We have to train up our children. Amen. It was David that said, train up a child in the way he should go when he is old. Have I? And he says in Psalms 119:11, it's right back there. The word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. You look at one thing, the next thing you know, you're looking at another thing. The next thing you know, you're looking at something you ain't got no business looking at. Am I all by myself? Amen. And I'm not talking about something crazy, but just taking your time. And it's almost like they're trying to come up with things to hook us in this. Be just so in sync with these things. And it's the influence and the curse of the enemy. But Jesus said he became a curse for us to redeem us. And cursed is the man that hangeth on the tree. And guess what? If you're unsaved and you don't know Christ, there is a hell. You can get to know him right now. You can come up this altar to accept Jesus Christ into your heart.